Hey there, everybody. It is August the 4th, 2010. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken.
And I'm Becca.
And you're listening to us on WVEW LP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. You're also listening to us on clickexpose.com, as well as always, broadcasting with pride worldwide, qnation.fm. Go check them out. You ready to get started?
I am ready.
Let's jump right in. So a few weeks back, I clicked on a link to what I thought was a cute little cartoon about cute little cartoon characters talking about Michigan. So that cute little cartoon turned out to be a spot-on commentary on the Michigan Women's Music Festival, and their much decried, although never seeming to change, practices. Here to talk about that cute little cartoon is the creator and fellow NYU Violet, Tom Leger. Tom, how are you?
I'm great, Ken. Thanks for having me.
All right, Tom, walk us through. There's no way that I feel like you sat down, made this video, and thought as many thousands and thousands of people were going to watch it as have seen this video.
Ken also played it like 17 times.
I know.
So you have to count 17 of those as
17
one.
Or me, Tom. But then there were all these other thousands of people.
We certainly didn't expect the response that we got. We made it on a Saturday night, hanging out with a couple friends, and posted it on my Facebook wall, and all it said was, "Let's talk about Michigan," which is the title of the video, and the description was like something like, two friends talk about a difficult issue, and that's all we said. You know, we didn't write anything about it or some, big essay about it or anything, but then suddenly it got reposted, on a lot of people's blogs and things like that, and thousands of people have seen it. So it's nice that it got a lot of conversation started.
Yeah. So, Tom, how do you feel about the, Michigan Women's Music Festival?
Michigan isn't my, big political thing. But it's that time of year again. And every year the same conversation happens and the same people keep going and keep kind of apologizing and keep kind of sheepishly paying their $500 or more ticket price to go and support these folks who don't really treat trans women as women or as people, in my opinion. And a couple of things happened right before we made the video, and one of those things is Annie Danger posted a very good essay online, an open letter to the people in her life who go, and kind of asking for that conversation to happen. And so that's kind of what preceded our sitting down and making the video, kind of as a response to that, because it's so frustrating to have that conversation over and over again because nothing changes.
Well, let's play. Can we play it? We're going to play a little snippet of this video. Now, have you named these characters?
No, not at all.
Oh, come on. Can we call them Ken and Becca? We got to name the characters, Tom.
Some people think that they're bears. Some people think that they're kittens. It's they're kind of intentionally not human because
okay.
We didn't want to make it too close to anybody who is real, because
okay.
This isn't really about picking on people, but it's about kind of bringing up the issue.
All right, so this is a little snippet of my favorite clip. They are discussing a party, a fundraiser, that one of the characters, the non-human characters, is having to raise money. So here we go.
It is a fundraiser, so I can go to Mitch Fest. The tickets are very expensive.
Why are you going to hang out with people who hate transsexual women?
I am trying to plan my party. Why can't you ever just relax and have a party sometimes? Let's just enjoy some femme solidarity.
Do you know what solidarity means?
I have the word solidarity tattooed on my ankle.
If you are my friend, why don't you have my back?
I believe that I can support you, but also support people who hate you.
I'm not sure if that is true.
Good stuff. So, as someone who actually has solidarity tattooed on his... No, I don't. But...
Not on your ankle.
Not there. What is going on here, Tom? This is a practice that has been going on for quite some time. For people who don't know what the practice is, tell everyone about this festival and what it is that they do.
Well, that's a good question. Again, I'm not the expert, the world expert on Michigan. I'm not a trans woman and I'm not a woman, so I don't attend the festival. But basically, the way that I describe it to people who have questions about it is it's kind of a don't ask, don't tell policy.
Right.
If you go and you're willing to kind of deal with the fact that you're not really welcome there, you can be a trans woman and be at the festival. But it's not a very welcoming or healthy place for trans folks.
Not good, Tom.
Yeah.
Not good. Now, and it has to be that what I love about this is that the serious issues that are being discussed against this backdrop, this medium, is just so unbelievably striking.
It's kind of absurd.
It's a little bit absurd. So what kind of reactions have you gotten?
Mostly very positive. We were really surprised. I mean, obviously, we talked a little bit earlier about how widespread it got, kind of posted, and then conversations started. But mostly very positive, especially, I think, trans people starting conversations with the people in their lives who are allies, and talking about how maybe they can be better allies. But also, you know, a startling number of folks who were kind of taken aback because they thought that they were doing the right thing. You know,
right.
They thought that they'd been really trying to be really politically active and being really out and in support of trans stuff, and then seeing this video and saying, oh, wait a second, maybe I identify too much with the character who is having a party, and, you know, asking all these things of trans people, but then not really turning around and supporting them back.
Now, I have to imagine there was some Sarah Lawrence connection here.
You know, Sarah Lawrence is a fine school. It's in the suburbs of New York. You know, I feel like there's a Sarah Lawrence NYU, you know, relationship.
A little bit, yeah.
we just, you know, we picked them. It could have been Vassar. It could have been Oberlin. You know, take your pick.
As someone who is a proud NYU graduate who also worked at Sarah Lawrence for 4 years, that was hilarious.
I'm glad you endured that.
That was hilarious. So what would you recommend for people that want to learn more about this and be more active? Who could you point them to? Where should people go to learn more?
Well, you know, I think that organizers of Camp Trans, and that changes every year, are just a great wealth of knowledge, and that they're on the Internet, and Google will help you out with that. But there's also a number of people that went out and made videos after this video came up, and that was actually almost the most exciting part, is that that platform, Extra Normal, which is just like a free platform that lets you make animated videos using this weird text engine that turns things into speech. You know, people were able to use that and make their own videos about this same subject or about other trans issues. And if you know, use Google or check out blogs or things like that, those videos are just an amazing beginning of lots of other conversations about trans equality and things.
Well, Tom, as I've said, I love this piece. Yes, 17, 18 of those views were me. Well, 19 with the one that I just did. But we will link to it. This show is SoGay.com. We will link to this video. We hope it gets even more exposure because it's a great conversation starter, Tom. It's well done.
Absolutely.
Great.
Well done.
Thanks so much, Kenneth.
Tom, thank you so much. Keep making these little movies. Keep getting us talking. Although I should say, Tom, right after we play a song, we're going to talk about gay marriage. Anything you want to say about that?
Gay marriage is not the answer.
There you go.
That's what I want to say.
I knew that was coming. Tom, an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for getting people talking.
Great. Thanks so much, Ken. Take care.
All the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is the number one champion sound. Yes, I know we're about to get down. Who the hell is in the world right now? Just down in the underground. But they give me your man. And I'm not going to win your money right now. Surfing for more, don't need more, see. We just sold out all the floors, see.
Take me on the promise to go someday. Take me to your promise to see ya.
Take me to your promise to see. to say you okay. Reluctantly, most of this press don't fuck with me. Estelle once said to me, cool down, now, don't act a fool now. Always act a fool, ow, ain't nothing to do now. He crazy, I know what you're thinking. Rap meaner, I know what you're drinking. Rap singer, chain blinger. I like that next chick, soon as you're blinking. What's your sign? About to set up a crime. Rhyme, my shadow. Cause all my clothes are signed. Dress him all like a limbo. Boy, he's kissing soupy smoke. And you thought he was cute before. Look at this peacoat, tell me he's broke. And I know you ain't all that. I heard you just did this, I feel you scared. But I still talk that cat. Cause a lot of wags wanna hear it. And I feel like Mike is the best. Like the pussy they gladdest. And I know they love it, so they
that
hell
is a tune
that
called
rubbish.
American Boy by Estelle featuring Kanye West, as requested by tonight's guest, who will be on in just a few.
I've got to say, I heard that song all over London and Paris.
Oh, really?
Last year. It was everywhere.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It was ridiculous. Everywhere I went, people are like playing it on the street. It was in the clubs. It was in the bar. It was crazy.
I don't even know it that well. Well, Becca, I wish one of the tough parts about doing the show is if it's a slow news day.
I know. What do we do on a slow news day?
Something to talk about.
Did you see that little story about California, though?
I did not.
Oh,
what
yeah, there
happened?
There was a little one. Oh, I had a really good day today. By the way, okay. I get to order a label maker. I'm really excited. And then there was that other thing in California, was good.
I love that the label maker story preceded California. That's awesome.
I'm an office manager, man.
And we're going to talk with tonight's guest about the overturning of Prop 8 and really get into that. But I wanted to read a couple different responses from some notables, people that we've actually had on the show before. This is from the LA Gay and Lesbian Center's Lori Jean, their CEO. And this was I'm going to read you part of her quote.
Did we tell them what the story was yet?
The Prop 8 was overturned.
Oh, yeah. Little story, guys.
This is from Lori Jean. Quote, today's historic decision by the federal district court is clearly a milestone victory for all gay, lesbian, and bisexual Californians, our families, and our friends. But much more than that, it is a resounding affirmation of fundamental American ideals and core principles of the U.S. Constitution. I'm skipping a little bit. Over the last 40 years, the advances in the movement for LGBT equality have been extraordinary, but that progress has not been unbroken, and there are clearly more obstacles to overcome. But today's decision is yet another signpost as we move ever closer to the day when the ideal of liberty and justice for all is fully realized for LGBT Americans, as it should be for every American, and indeed for everyone everywhere. Now, that's from Lori Jean. From Dean Spade...
Yes.
I'm not saying this is contrary to that.
Is
but this
it
is from Dean Spade. Quote, and Dean wrote this a bit ago, but reposted it just a few hours ago. Quote, we're being told marriage is the way to solve gay people's problems with healthcare access, immigration, child custody, and symbolic equality. It doesn't solve these problems, and there are real campaigns and struggles that would and could approach these problems for everyone, not just for a privileged few. Let's take the energy and money being put into gay marriage and put it towards real change, opposing the war on terror and all forms of endless war, supporting queer prisoners and building a movement to end imprisonment, organizing against police profiling and brutality in our communities, fighting attacks on welfare, public housing, and Medicaid, fighting for universal health care that is trans and reproductive health care inclusive, fighting to tax wealth, not workers, fighting for a world in which no one is illegal. And the two are not in opposition to each other. Sorry, end quote.
Yes.
The two are not in opposition to each other. And Dean Spade even put on his Facebook wall that he was excited about Prop 8, but that this is something to keep in mind. How should we temper our excitement
right.
about
well,
marriage equality?
Less evil is good.
Less evil is definitely good.
It might not be the total solution, which, in fact, it's not the total solution, but... it's one less bad thing in the world.
Yes. So now...
maybe.
Inevitably...
at least it's paused.
Indeed.
Paused evil.
Indeed. This will inevitably head to the Supreme Court. I'm told appeals have already been drafted.
Yes.
And by I'm told, I mean I read that online. And so I guess we'll see what happens next.
All right.
Supreme Court will either take this on or not take this on, and it'll go from there.
We have a long way to go, though.
We have a long way to go. We have a long way to go. Hey, you know who else is supporting and accepting gays and lesbians?
Who?
Orthodox rabbis. Did you read about this?
No, I missed this.
You missed the rabbi story?
I did.
I was tuned into the rabbi story.
Sorry, I didn't search for rabbi.
A group of 150 Orthodox rabbis issued a statement calling for the acceptance of gays and lesbians in the Orthodox community. The statement said, quote, "Embarrassing, harassing, or demeaning someone with a homosexual orientation or same-sex attraction is a violation of Torah prohibitions that embody the deepest values of Judaism. Jews with homosexual orientations like Kenschneck or same-sex attractions should be welcomed."
It did not say that.
It's 150 rabbis gave me a shout-out. Don't deny me that.
Did not.
To read again, Jews with homosexual orientations, this is the quote, like Kenschneck or same-sex attraction should be welcomed as full members of the synagogue and school community. So this is a very big deal because, oh, we should have called my dad.
When's the last time you went to synagogue? And were you welcome?
That's not the point of the story. No, I haven't been in a little bit.
Well, we don't have one in Marlboro or...
There's one in West Brattleboro. There's a temple in West Brattleboro with a brand new rabbi. I got to suss him out.
I did see that there was someone coming to the area, but I didn't realize that there was.
So a very big deal that 150 Orthodox rabbis have made this statement. A statement that my father made in December. And if you've not heard that show of my father calling in, you can go back to thisshowissogay.com. Click on podcasts. Backtrack to the New Year's show with Billy Myers, and who is fantastic. Kiss the Rain. Hi, Billy Myers. She was amazing. But just as amazing, my dad calling in at the start of the show. So much fun. You weren't here that night. You didn't get to talk to my dad.
You always recommend people go back and look at these shows that I wasn't here for.
I'm recommending my dad. You just weren't here that night. That's not my fault.
I miss all the good stuff.
You missed my dad. All right. So we are going to play a bit more music as requested by tonight's guest. So enjoy. Historic Prop 8 overturn ruling, we were honored to be joined by Jarrett Berrios, the president of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, also known as GLAAD. Jarrett joined GLAAD in September of 2009 after serving 9 years in the Massachusetts legislature and 2.5 years as the president of the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts Foundation. He was the first Latino and first openly gay man elected to the Massachusetts State Senate. Among his many accolades are Legislator of the Year honors by organizations as diverse as the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition, the Disabled American Veterans, Metropolitan Area Planning Council, and the Massachusetts Senior Action Council. And the highest accolade of all, we imagine, a call into our show. We join our chat with Jarrett Berrios about a minute into our interview as we ask him, hey, wasn't there some ruling out in some state out west by a judge-like guy? Hey, what was that judge-like guy's name? Enjoy.
Walker, that's his name.
Walker, yes.
He's here. He, like, made history today. He overturned Prop 8 in a decision, frankly, that was overdue, that was extremely well done, setting it up nicely for an appeal, in all seriousness. finding on two separate counts. One, that marriage is a fundamental right, and because of that, is entitled to strict scrutiny and did not survive, that Prop 8 did not survive because it did not survive that standard of scrutiny.
Okay.
And then secondly, equal protection, the idea that equal protection of laws of our Constitution is applied to the states in the 14th Amendment. That's very fast and complicated, but basically, equal protection of laws means gay people too. And that's a very important decision, particularly for a federal court to find. And what's important, finally, about this is, again, federal court, so it's the basis of federal law. And depending on how this goes up, it could have implications for people beyond California. Very exciting.
Now, for an organization, I don't know if you know this, but GLAAD is very attuned to LGBT issues in the media. And for a day when all media are talking about LGBT issues, how the heck do you even divvy up the work there at GLAAD?
Well, for starters, GLAAD works with a number of other partner organizations. And on an issue like this, where it's a very important court case, we have worked with partner organizations for weeks, if not months, anticipating this decision, developing our statements, helping them develop their statements, them helping us develop our statements, and making sure that we are aligned. We convene calls with the different communications directors so that we can be coordinated. It isn't always about GLAAD being in the paper. It's about making sure the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community is putting its best foot forward.
Right.
And so the right people are in the news. And that would be, in this case, the legal organizations like Lambda, the other GLAAD, 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 the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and others who are, in many ways, the experts that we want to put forward on this. And, of course, there's the folks who brought the case, Mr. Boies and Mr. Old.
Right. So how do you wind up talking to us
this figured, day? We figured, oh, man, there's no way. He's busy.
How do I end up talking to you guys?
Yeah. Who failed in their delegation there? You know?
He delegated so well.
Email from you guys inviting me to talk. And I guess I sort of figured you knew that this would be the day the decision was coming down before anybody else.
The judge had called and said, you guys are still on Wednesdays. We said yes, and he was very gracious in timing it to the day that we broadcast our show. So we are appreciative.
We are.
So now, but I would also imagine, Jarrett, that there, in addition to obviously just this huge spike in media coverage of LGBT issues today and for the rest of the week and hopefully, you know, even more, that there's also a bit of an uptick in folks in the media who perhaps do not have the language that...
That's correct. What we're going to see over the next few weeks, well, particularly in the next 48 hours, there will be a lot of commentators on Fox and other places where... there are not some not nice things said about the decision and by association about gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people. And we will be monitoring that, and I would just encourage anybody who hears anything. We have an incident reporting system. People can either call or easier just go online to GLAAD.org, GLAAD.org, and report anything that you hear in the press so that we can follow up on it, which is one of the core services we like to provide to our community. And we do that, and just want people to understand what GLAAD's about. We believe in the legal equality and in decisions like this, but broader, we believe and work towards what we call full equality.
Right.
GLAAD. Full equality, the kind of world where we're all accepted, respected, and valued. Laws are important, but how we are understood, treated, and kind of endorsed by our neighbors, our friends, and our family members, in many ways, is the full goal, because where you have that, you don't have to worry about discrimination that is legal because it goes away. That's what we work towards. We do it through, as you said, media advocacy. We work to help shape the understanding of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people through the stories people read in the newspapers, the characters that exist on scripted television shows, what churches are saying about us, a whole range of issues in sports. And these are all different vectors for increased understanding, acceptance, and respect for us. It's a lot of work
in
the next few weeks, in the next few days on this, but there's always something bubbling up.
I mean, bet.
You're right that there's going to be a lot of news, but there's always something to say about gay people, it seems, particularly by many conservatives.
Will you pull back the curtain for us a little bit and maybe demystify the process so someone sees something on maybe their local newscast that
Or they hear, you know, this show is so gay, say something stupid.
No. We're pretty good about full equality. Pretty good. We have our off days. But someone sees something on their local newscast, and they write into GLAAD, and they say, listen, this news anchor said this, and it was terrible. Pull back the curtain for us. What does that trigger? What's the process? What happens?
So I'll give you an example.
Yay.
We had, a couple months ago, CNN did a report after the state of California repealed a real antiquated law that affected gay people. There had been a law passed in the 1920s that directed their state's Department of Mental Health to research the causes and cures of homosexuality. So that's a pretty archaic law. It got repealed. CNN did a story on it. And when they did the story, the person, that sort of the expert they got to talk was a gentleman by the name of Richard Cohen, who's a so-called ex-gay.
Oh, boy.
Somebody who counsels, who is himself, quote-unquote, ex-gay, but also counsels people on how they can be saved from their homosexuality. Clearly, pretty much a crackpot. But he was introduced as a, quote-unquote, educator and therapist on the show, and he said what you would expect him to say about this and about the evils of homosexuality. Now, we could clearly focus on him, but what GLAAD does is focus, in this case, on the news outlet. We focus on CNN, and our take was, this is not a fair and balanced story. There's nobody else to balance out. And by the way, you've given somebody credibility who has none.
He right.
has lost it. We track Mr. Cohen and his occasional flare-ups where he appears, and so we gave them the dossier on Mr. Cohen. He has lost his license in 2001 to be a psychotherapist. He kind of out of his garage issues certificates for this. I think he calls it reorientation therapy.
That's a resume builder.
It's not a legitimate field of psychology, but whatever.
Yeah.
And he's certainly no educator. So we went after CNN, first of all, asking them to run, have somebody else on the show to balance it out. The next day, they didn't do it, and so we did what we call a call to action. So all the people who signed up to receive those emails from our website will get an email saying, please call or email CNN. This is what happened. We need you to email so-and-so or so-and-so. And in that case, about 4,000 people did within the next 24 hours. And CNN, within 24 hours, was calling us. They agreed to run a correction, a story that corrected it. They went on air. They admitted they made a mistake, which was important. And more importantly, going forward, we know that they're going to be more careful. I met with the head, the CEO of CNN, to talk about the issue. He acknowledged that it was a mistake. And so the goal isn't just to correct, in the best of all possible world, isn't just to get, an apology for what happened here, but to really get people to understand what's going on. And in this case, what was going on was the perpetuation of a vicious stereotype that helps promote our inequality.
Right.
It helps confirm people's stereotypes that lead them to conclude that we are not worthy of respect, acceptance, and equality. And so by changing that calculation, by changing the relationship, the goal is to help support our full equality.
So do you have a whole desk of people dedicated to Fox?
We have people who are in our news department, who monitor all the national news department, three folks who do that. We have what are called media field strategists who divide up the country and monitor regional media.
Gotcha.
They also work with state gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender equality organizations and do trainings and help provide press and communication support. We have an entertainment division that's based out of our Los Angeles office that works with networks. And so, for example, when the Cleveland show has that nasty, they do the anti-trans stuff, we
right.
are an entertainment shop that does that. When we had that article in Newsweek about saying that gay men couldn't play, convincingly play straight roles, it was our entertainment folks who took that on.
Right.
So yes, we have a real range of areas. We have a religion, faith, and values program. We have a sports media program. We have an advertising program, a young adult area. So a number of different areas that we work in.
Sure. And there's been a lot of news specifically about CBS as being called out about not having gay characters on the sitcom type shows. So are we still allowed to watch CBS or?
Let them know they should have more of us in their show.
CBS has for years. We do something every year called the Network Responsibility Index. We do this because it's not just enough to complain, right? It's not just enough to say, oh, you suck, you should have more characters. We think that data is important, and data has a very important way of helping people focus on the problem. So what we do is we monitor every hour of original programming content, so not the reruns,
right,
but original content that airs on the five major networks and the top 10 cable stations. And then we, over the course of the year, we monitor, and then we do a report, and we rank them, or we give grades, ratings, to each of the networks. CBS has consistently failed, and they failed again this year. I think something like only 3% of the original program has any trace of LGBT content, and that's far less than, say, Fox, which is at 33%, ABC at 30%. And the CW at 37%.
Wow.
So you get a sense that that disparity deserves being addressed. And so Nina Tasker, the CEO of CBS, this year, after we released it, we called them out. To her credit, she acknowledged that it was a problem and they're going to address it. And they actually have already added three new gay characters to three different programs. So we think that we're going to make a little bit of progress, but, you know, the proof will be in the pudding. We'll see what happens. Now, why is that important? Why do we focus on scripted television? You know, a lot of people who don't know anybody or think they don't know anybody who's gay or lesbian still can get to know about gay folks through their, you know, on their television,
right,
in their living room. And it's a very important way of sort of normalizing, socially norming folks to our existence, to our aspirations, to the barriers we face, our challenges, our hopes. These are all ways of helping humanize us to America. The media is a very powerful vector of that. News stories are part of that, but entertainment is as well, which is why we're very focused on making sure gay people are part of that mosaic that Hollywood puts out, which is a reflection of our society.
I don't think there's any possible way that that can be overestimated for folks in the country and obviously all over the world, but in some of these remote parts of the country where truly their only connection to LGBT life is through some of these, through scripted television, through some of these shows. And I was very interested to read about on GLAAD's website, in particular, we focus a lot of our radio waves, our radio time on youth and LGBT issues and making the country safer for LGBT youth. And so I was really interested to read about the work that you're doing with Degrassi, The Next Generation.
Absolutely.
Yes. We put that up. Did that go up already?
Yes, it did.
Very interesting work on the new trans young person. We have a wonderful trans activist who's on our staff who's been doing that work along with our entertainment director. And it's a young person is particularly important. I mean, Degrassi, so it's going to be a young person, right?
Right.
But it's just so important because it's part of the diversity of the trans community, right? It's not everybody who's like, you know, over 30 and, you know, I mean, it's an issue for young folks too, as they're transitioning, acceptance, understanding by their friends and family. It's great stuff.
That's great.
That is awesome.
That's awesome. All right, we got to talk to you about your music, sir. Are you ready to talk about your musical selections for tonight?
I am so jamming on my music. And you said Veti Burong. That's the GLAAD song. That's my unofficial GLAAD song.
Okay, we're going to get to that. We're going in a little bit of order. So this is the part, Jarrett Berrios, where you tell our listening audience what your musical selections say about Jarrett Berrios. You ready? Little psychoanalyzing.
So take a moment.
Take a deep breath in the Cuban restaurant. What does American Boy by Estelle say about Jarrett Berrios?
American Boy. It's a wonderful song about the international flavor of our world, but in particular, I think of it as our community. A wonderful thing. As I am Cuban, I am also American, and I love the place, the country we live in, and I love working to make it a better place. And it's a fun, fun summer song to dance to.
Nice. Awesome. Good start. This was a good start.
All right, you pass step
test one. Step two. What does El Rey Tiburon say about Jarrett Berrios? So,
first of all, we got to talk about the excellence that is Maná, which is perhaps the best Spanish-language rock band ever.
Look at that.
Maná is from Mexico. This particular song really rocks. It's a dance song called Rey Tiburón. It means that basically the king shark, the Gorgon shark. And I think of this as sort of the bite that's glad, right? Like we're kind of, we try to be the watchdog, right? The one that's out there protecting everybody else. And the lines in the song are, you know, the shark is the king of the sea, right? So not that we're the king of the sea here, but we try to protect others in that way, the smaller fish, from those people out there that would do us harm. That's how I think of it.
That was very good.
We're more like Flipper.
We're totally more like Flipper. All right, we're going to make you do just one more. Now, this is very funny, and I'm going to tell you why. Because you made a little joke in your email about Ari Shapiro. Ari Shapiro, the only other guest who requested a song by Pink Martini of
it's
all
true.
The songs in all the world. What does Brazil by Pink Martini say about Jarrett Berrios?
Well, two things, actually. I went to college with China Forbes and Thomas Lauderdale, who founded Pink Martini. And so I've always had a fondness for them. But Brazil is an amazing country. Brazil, I was there for 5 weeks last year, right before I started my job at GLAAD. I had a fellowship. When I was in politics, much of my district was Portuguese-speaking. I learned Portuguese. And Brazil is a fabulous, it's sort of the other America in the Americas. It's a big country. It's a very amazing democracy that is diverse, where at least for me it reflects, you know, part of my Latin diversity. I'm Cuban, different in Brazil, but still something that deeply resonates with me. It's a song that China did such a great job with it. You just can't help but sing along.
Very good. That's
all right.
Awesome.
All right. See, you survived
that was
part.
Good. Jarrett, where do people go to learn more about all the cool work that GLAAD is doing?
But wait, we didn't do my last song yet.
Oh, you want to do the last one too?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. I don't want to stress people out by having to do four.
But he likes
this. He likes the stress.
I want to do this last one because Anshu Dutka from Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is a song called
Somerville.
Long. Yes,
Yay.
This is a song called Long Way. Tell us.
Have you played it yet, or will it be?
It's going to be at the end of the show. It's going to be the song that plays out our show.
It's a sad song. It's a traveling song. And for me, it really resonates. It's perhaps the hardest part of my job is that I, like she in the song, she's a musician traveling around as a singer. I do a lot of travel, and I'm away from home a lot. And so for me, it just reminds me of kind of the bittersweet aspect of the job. Very touching, but you know, the commitment is there, but it's hard sometimes. And she is just the most amazing voice, the most amazing songwriter, my absolute favorite. And so I had to put my favorite in.
Nice.
Yeah.
The first guest in 2 years of this show to actually want to talk about all of their songs. Most
it's
of the guests
true.
Just run fleeing once we give them the out. So very impressive.
His mind is an open book. His music association is an open book.
So tell us, Jarrett, where do folks go to learn more about all the cool work that GLAAD is doing?
I will give you two websites, but really just GLAAD.org, GLAAD.org. Go to the website, and I want to just ask people to do two things. Go sign up for our calls to action. If you thought it was cool when you got the Today Show, to allow gay people to participate in the marriage contest.
Yes.
And we did.
And we did, yes.
Thank you. All of those things are possible, not because we call to action, but because people actually join us. People out there in Vermont and Idaho, Alaska, and Florida, take the 2 minutes to send me an email and sign the petition. That actually adds up. When 10,000 people do that in 24 hours, people pay attention.
Nice.
And so you can sign up for calls to action just by going to our website, and signing up. Very simple, just a minute. And then you'll get the calls to action, and we'll be more effective as a community, our friends, and allies, and LGBT people.
This is not spam. These are emails that make a difference.
They are.
Right. It's like one or two a month.
There you go.
We probably do 1 to 3, depending on how much hate is out there this month.
Right.
You probably get up to 3 emails a month.
There you go.
Yeah, but GLAAD never leads me astray. Like, you guys don't get me all fired up about nothing.
Yes.
I feel like when I get an email, it's worth opening.
Yes. Love that.
Thank you. You can also sign up with the experience about what we're doing. We do these things called snapshots of our work, which tell you about the cool stuff in entertainment and news, the work that we've been doing I would also note GLAAD blog, separate from our GLAAD website. You can go to GLAAD.blog. And we update that 3, 4, 5 times a day. If you're interested in news around this stuff, what's going on in entertainment and in news and the gay community, we're constantly putting new stuff up. Good stuff to repost to learn about what's going on.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have it in my head that you love your job.
I love my job. I feel so lucky. I mean, I loved when I was in Senate. I loved when I was the foundation. And now I love this job. I'm blessed to be able to serve. And, you know, I get to come to shows because I feel very lucky.
Well, we, sir, are blessed to have you in this role. We really are. I know that you have just a ton and a ton of people across the country working with you. But as you are the one who is on the air right now, and please relay our thanks to all the amazing people at GLAAD and the people that you work with. My God, are you doing an important service for this community and really moving things forward. We thank you.
Absolutely.
Awesome. I just want to say thank you for all of you listening in Vermont and listening over. You guys live stream, right, over the web?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we do, and we'll repost on...
listening. It's so good. We love you, and I'd love to come back sometime.
Oh, Jarrett, an absolute pleasure. Keep doing what you're doing, sir.
Thank you. Oh, no.
Bye, Jarrett. Bye-bye. Brazil. taking a little hop over to Zimbabwe. Did you read about this?
Yes, I did. This is a
not a good one.
Sad story.
Sad story. 20 high school girls have been arrested in Bulawaya, Zimbabwe, for allegedly having lesbian relationships. According to the Zim diaspora, the Eveline High School headmistress, Rosemary Moyo, has confirmed that the students were detained by police at the all-girls school last Thursday. The girls are teammates in the high school's soccer club. While playing in a local soccer tournament, one team member informed the headmistress that some of her team members engaged in lesbian relationships. And so there was a whole investigation.
Well, they're still not sure if the allegations are even true or not, or based in truth, or if it's just
indeed
infighting.
Indeed.
But
they have been detained and arrested. So we'll keep an eye on that.
A lot of places.
Oh, yeah.
In Zimbabwe, it's even illegal to hold hands. So
not good.
Keep that in mind. And there was an even sadder story out of Long Island.
I couldn't even reference that story on the show. I'll let you do it.
Okay. It's a rough one. A man named Pedro Jones fatally punched his girlfriend's 17-month-old child. The child died fatally, punched a baby, which is pretty awful. And his quote is, "I was trying to make him act like a boy instead of a little girl.
Yeah.
I never struck that kid that hard before."
Yeah.
End quote.
As in what? I never killed a baby?
I've never hit the kid before. I've never hit any children. No, I haven't hit a kid that hard before.
First time killing a baby. Just want to let everybody know.
That's messed up.
I'm gonna take a sharp U-turn away from that.
God.
This cracked me up that the one of those National Association for Marriage organization folks, they needed someone to really be on the front line and speak against Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We need someone reputable. We need somebody who is above reproach. So somehow they settled on Oliver North. And retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North has now released a video saying openly gay and lesbian troops will scare away potential recruits with a religious background. So let's remind folks, maybe some of our younger listeners, people who perhaps are out of touch, this is a convicted felon. This is a guy who was convicted of selling arms and enabling the sale of arms under the Reagan administration. It's totally messed up. He's a convicted felon. Don't really care. But kind of am amused and wanted to mention that this is the spokesperson that they've now come up with.
Yes.
I like desperation. I smell desperation in the air.
It's on me.
Yeah.
It's this time.
No, it's not you.
Not it.
Two different trans stories. So we'll start with the not happy one and then we'll move to the happy one. A transgender woman said staff at an Indiana hospital mocked her and denied her treatment after she came to the emergency room coughing up blood.
Not okay.
Yes, not okay. And she 2 hours passed before she saw a doctor who then said he couldn't treat her because she is trans. People were snickering. Hospital staff referred to her as he, she, it, and a transvestite. So that is more than a bit messed up. Vivian Bengay, the president of the Indiana Transgender Rights Advocacy Alliance, had this to say, quote, "The irony here is that we spend so much time teaching about trans issues at Ball State University, and yet there is a Ball Memorial Hospital treating a transgender like this. It is so sad." So the hospital officials are looking into that. On the other side of the spectrum, a little bit happier, a U.S. district judge ruled yesterday that former Georgia State employee Vandy Beth Glenn, a trans woman who was fired after revealing her intention to transition, should get her job back. Glenn filed her lawsuit in 2008. And can I just say, so 2008, 2 years ago, well done for sticking with this.
Yes.
Because I would imagine this was a nightmare to keep going with this lawsuit and believing in it as much as we all believe.
2 years.
Yeah, that's just so I applaud Vandy Beth Glenn. So she claimed that her boss, State Legislative Counsel Sewell Brumby, fired her after she announced that she planned to transition from male to female and that she would wear women's clothes during the process. Judge Richard W. Story ruled that Glenn must be reinstated to her position as an editor in the Legislative Counsel's office by Monday. Very cool. And Glenn's lawyer reports that she is content with the outcome.
Would you go back?
That is a great question. I would absolutely not go back. I would absolutely not go back.
Yeah.
You would, and I don't know that.
I mean, I would want to go back just to prove the point, but I would not go back, yeah. I don't think.
Does it say? Oh, yeah, here we go. So, Glenn, a client of Lambda Legal, she testified before Congress in 2009 in support of ENDA, which is still languishing. And she said, quote, "My work ethic has not changed. I was still ready and willing to burn the midnight oil with my colleagues, making sure that every bill was letter perfect. My commitment to the General Assembly, to its leaders, and to Brumby had not faltered. The only thing that changed was my gender." So I thought that in that quote was whether or not Glenn would be returning to place of employment.
But, no.
But I do not know. I do not know. No, I wouldn't.
I think it. Yeah, no, I don't think so. Because I would feel like they're looking for a legitimate reason to fire you.
Yeah.
Or a more legally.
Wouldn't you, after a period of time? So I left. My first professional job post-grad school was at a university in Westchester. And I was the gay. You know, this was 2001. Yeah. So it was a nice solid decade ago. But I felt like I was the gay on campus, even though I wasn't. And at one point I had encountered homophobia, to which a counselor said, "Well, don't you think that in some ways you brought that upon yourself because you're very out?" By the way, I love the concept of very out, which just means you're out.
Yes.
Like I was out. I actually talked about being gay. And so I left for other reasons. I wasn't thrilled with the job, but I said, my gosh, this was a huge contributing reason. And at the time I said, I will never work for this place again. I would go back there at this point. If there was a good job there,
right,
I could see myself.
Right, but I mean, if
back.
You were in a lawsuit like that, and
yeah.
then they said they had to give you your job back, would you go?
Oh, yes. I see what you mean.
I don't think I would in that case.
I don't know. There's a big FU factor there, too.
There is, but do you really want to go to work every day
for that reason?
To that,
yeah, no, I don't think I would do it.
I am not mature enough to overcome that. I'm not. I wouldn't be able to go into work right. and not have that be a chip on my shoulder.
If that's how you got your job back, too, I totally agree. It's like maybe if they
apologize
a lawsuit,
or something,
right.
maybe then I could go back. But if that's how it went down,
right.
I don't know that I could go in and be like, "Well, they made you give me my job back,"
right?
And
Judge Richard W. Story said, "You have to give me my job back."
Right. And good for her if she does.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be brave enough to do it.
Yeah.
And I would feel like they were out to get me, I think, at that point.
It would be pretty darn uncomfortable. It would be pretty darn uncomfortable.
Yeah. So.
How was P-Town?
Lovely.
You had a good time?
With Boston.
Nice.
I went to Lilith Fair, and that was good.
Look at that.
I've had quite the adventure lately. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't know. I haven't gone to Uganda.
Ah, well,
but
you know, there's that.
But yeah, handed out lots of business cards. So if we have new listeners, welcome.
Welcome. Welcome to...
You came to a good week.
You did. And there are many more good weeks to come. We have Miss New York is going to be on the show mm-hmm. next week, which is really cool. One of the first, if not the first, and we will ask her, our new buddy Claire, if she might be the first big time pageant contestant, and I'll probably get the language right next week, to have as her official platform safety for LGBT students. Very, very cool. So I'm excited to talk to her. And then the week after that, we have PR legend guru Howard Bragman, who is in more news stories than you can shake a stick at. I don't even know what that means, but
I don't know what that means either.
You know, you shake a stick, there's Howard Bragman. We'll go with that.
You know, on a show like ours, it just sounds, it has a different ring to it on this show.
It's not good.
It's not good.
So to learn more about all of our cool guests, stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. Please, please, please drop us an email at thisshowisogay@AOL.com. And with any guest ideas that you have, because let me tell you, we've had a nice little track record of getting these folks.
Yes. And if you have any ideas for our 2-year anniversary show,
it's
which
coming
is
up.
Coming up
it's
and we need
up.
To book it.
2-year anniversary show is coming up, and show number 100 is fast approaching.
Yeah.
I know. It's pretty crazy.
We're going to have some sort of something.
We might have to invite some past people that we love, too, to just call in and tell them to wish us a happy 100. We'll script it for them. That's fine. Go over to thisshowisogay.com and also join our Facebook, like our Facebook page. It's an official word, just like us. Type in "This Show Is So Gay" into your Facebook, And
we won't call it the Facer book anymore.
We won't. I probably will. And tell us that you like the show, and we love that more than life itself. So that's pretty much it for us. We strongly suspect there will be more to talk about. I mean, gosh, Prop 8, it was just, what, 3-4 hours ago?
That's true.
The reaction is going to be...
And there's going to be a lot of fallout from it. Yeah. What precedent does this set, and
indeed,
how can we make it more inclusive, yeah, to the trans folk who are not included in that legislation,
indeed,
so far?
So we'll see what happens. More on that next week. For now, get out there, folks. Go do amazing things. If you see something that should be reported to GLAAD, report it to GLAAD.
But also report it to us.
Yes, tell us too. But definitely sign on to any petitions that you get, any of these call to actions. So important that you take action. Go do amazing things. And above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
First day of felt so famous.